As a preacher or as a youth minister, really, it's just one of the worst assignments you can get. But it used to always be my assignment whenever I was a teenager growing up in Missouri, was to lead the VBS songs. And I kind of liked it when I was a teenager, to tell you the truth, but it was my first introduction to church work. Chances leaving, you're not going to hear my story, but that's okay. But my introduction was, I had a lady come up to me and she said, "You know you're singing that wrong, don't you?" And I said, what are you talking about? I'm singing." She said, "You're singing Booster wrong." And I thought, I've been singing Booster all my life, which at that point, probably 17 years. I knew how to sing Booster, right? Just like Chan, Booster. But she said, "No, it's supposed to be like this. It's supposed to be Booster, Booster, be up." And she was adamant that we had to lead it that way. Now, I don't know where she went to church growing up, but that's not how you sing Booster. But she let us know how she wanted it to be sung. And I said, "That's my introduction to church work. You can go now, Chance. That's the end of my story." All right. We've had a good week, had a good day. Glad to be back with you tonight. I want to talk about something that I think has the power to really shape and mold a lot of our marriages. And it's something that I think is sorely missing in a lot of our marriages. I told you last night that the basis for these two lessons have really, a lot of it come from several books, but one book in particular, just called Love and Respect. And I didn't see anybody who said they'd read that book, but I would encourage you to read that book. I looked it up on my smartphone just sitting over here while we were singing Booster the Right Way, and you can buy it for $2. Okay, it's a hardcover book, but it's been out for a while, $2. And I normally don't encourage people to do things on their phones while I'm talking, but if you want to order that book while I'm going, you have the preacher's permission tonight to do that. Because I really think that it's foundational when it comes to the subject that we've been talking about. How do you really love your spouse? I want to be the very best husband that I can be. Okay, with all of my heart and with all of my soul, I want my wife to know that I love her. I want to be what she needs me to be. I want to be what God calls me to be. The reality is, I'm not always that person. I hope I'm that person I hope I am that person more than I'm not that person, but I know that I'm not always that person. So I'm working on it. I'm striving. I'm trying. Our life and our roles within our marriages are a constant period of self-evaluation and correction. Now, you could say that about everything in regards to the Christian life, but I hope that you'll think about it, especially as it relates to who you are as a husband or as a wife. Take time to look at yourself. Take time to evaluate yourself. You might have been the husband that you are today for the last 40 years, and you think that's working pretty good. It probably is working okay. But it might work better if you took some time to look at yourself. You might have only known what a wife looks like from what you've seen from your mother and your grandmother, and that's all you've ever known. But what I'm challenging us with this idea is that if we will step back and look and see what the Bible has to teach us, it can teach us. It can make the very best husband in this room a better husband. It can make the very best wife in this room a better wife, if we will allow it to. And so last night we talked about how to really love your wife. Tonight I want us to focus on the question, how to really love your husband. How do you do that? We've established the fact that men and women are different, that there are a lot of things that my wife really likes. Right? She likes it when we sit close. She likes it when we have long talks. She likes it when I bare my soul to her. That's not what I'm looking for. I mean, I don't have a really problem with any of that stuff, but that's more what she needs. Why? Because we're different. Because we're different. And we look at this passage, in Ephesians 5 and verse 33, where Paul provides us with this summary statement. And he says, "Let each individual among you love his own wife even as himself. And let the wife see to it that she respect her husband." Husbands, you're supposed to love your wives. Now, I'm very well aware that not every woman is easy to love. Not every woman is lovable. Is that a fair statement? Is that fair? Nobody wants to shake, but that's a true statement, right? I mean, I know people and brothers and sisters in Christ that, I mean, I think I'm glad I'm not married to her, right? Maybe you are married to her. Maybe you know someone who's married to her. Jesus says, Paul says, God says, husbands, you love her. That's the remedy. That's how you're going to work through these things. But then he flips the table and he says, wives, you see to it that you respect your husbands. Is it important for your husband to love you? How big of a deal is that your husband love you? Any lady want to answer that question? How big of a deal is it that your husband love you? How big of a deal is it? It's a big one. It's kind of like a deal breaker, isn't it? I mean, that's what, if he doesn't love me, then what do we really have, right? It'd be hard for me to overstate the importance of a husband loving their wife, right? Right? You guys are about to get married how long? 2 days? 10 days? 10 days? I'm missing a finger, so 9 and a half, okay? 10 days? What would happen if you realized he doesn't really love you? It'd be a deal breaker, wouldn't it? It would be, we would call it off. We get that. That's not, you know, nobody's calling the newspaper to tell them husbands are supposed to love their wives. Who knew? But just as powerfully and as surely and as importantly as that is, the Bible says the wife is to see to it that she respect her husband. You remember the surveys that we talked about last night where men were asked, if you had to choose between the two, would you rather would you rather have an existence where you were all alone and unloved in this world? Or would you rather have an existence where you were just inadequate and disrespected? And 74% of the men said, if I was choosing between those two, I'd rather be all alone and unloved. I don't think that many women are answering that way. But I know a lot of men are. God made you that way. And so if you want to spell love to your husband, you need to understand it's not spelled L-O-V-E. It's spelled R-E-S-P-E-C-T. That's how you spell respect. That's how you spell love to your husband. That's the message that he's giving us, and that's the message that I think if we will begin to see each other in that way, can really transform a lot of our relationships. You know, we talk about respect. It probably always comes into our mind. You know, the Aretha Franklin song, right? And she sang about respect, and it kind of taken and become, you know, almost like the theme of the feminist movement in our country. R-E-S-P-E-C-T, right? Anybody want to sing the rest of it? Anybody? No, I don't either. But you know the song, right? But you know that song was kind of stolen by her. You know who wrote that song? Anybody know who wrote the song Respect? R-E-S-P-E-C-T? A man wrote that song. Otis Redding wrote that song. It may be a name that you might have heard of. And actually, he actually sang that song before Aretha Franklin sang that song, released it on an album. But when he wrote that song, the reason that he wrote that song is it was a song that he wrote for his wife. And he was trying to send this message to his wife or talk about their relationship. I'll do anything for you if you will just show me respect. See, it's not just about women that need respect. It's this God-given natural part of men that need respect. And where we find these two things merging, where we find love and respect coming together in a marriage, that's when you have power. That's when you can have the relationship that you really want to have. When you have a husband who understands that his wife is very special and different from him, and he goes out of his way to show her the love and the kindness and the affection that she needs, and you have a wife who reciprocates that by saying, I know that my husband is different from me, and I'm going to show him the love that he needs just as badly. I'm going to show him the respect that he needs just as badly as I need that love. That's when you have an awesome marriage. That's when you're constantly building each other up. And marriage is not an old ball and chain. It's not the thing that's keeping you down. It's not this burden that, you know, that we find ourselves in. It really becomes a blessing. And the greatest thing in our life becomes our spouse. That's what God intended marriage to be, isn't it? All the way back to Genesis chapter 2, to be that helpmeet, that compatible, suitable relationship. Respect. In the same way that women need love, men need respect because God made them that way. We said last night that it is an unconditional sort of relationship. And we see that over in 1 Peter chapter 3, where Peter is talking to women who don't have Christian spouses. He's talking to women who find themselves married to people who are disobedient to the Word. Who are disobedient to the Word that is the foundation of a godly marriage. That to the Word that says you're supposed to love your wife unconditionally. And he says to those women, when you find yourself in this relationship, you be submissive to them, so that they may be won without a word by the behavior of their wives as they observe your chaste and your respectful behavior. They always tell us in marriage counseling classes, you know, don't think you're going to change your spouse. And I would say to anybody that's going to get married, you know, don't think it's going to get better. Don't think you're going to change them after you get married. But a lot of people are already married. A lot of people are already in that situation. How can you change your spouse? How can you motivate your spouse to be the man, to be the woman that you want them to be and that you believe they want to be and you know God wants them to be? How can you get them to do the things that you need them to do? I think what happens in a lot of relationships is especially the male-female relationship, whenever we want our husband to be different, we want our husband to do something or to take responsibility, is that we just adopted good old nagging. Right? I'll just tell him about it every time he's around until he gets the point over and over and over and over and over about whatever it is. That's a good, decent definition of what nagging looks like. How's that work? Fellas, you feel motivated to go do something when somebody starts nagging at you? Any guys? I mean, I might do it, right? I mean, if my wife, you know, if she brings it up enough, I'll probably do it. All right, I'm thinking some stuff I should probably do right now. But I won't like doing it. And it won't bring us closer together. As a matter of fact, it might actually cause me to resent my spouse. Why don't we try something different? Why don't we try to motivate our spouse simply by being what God calls us to be? Ladies, does it make a difference when that husband who that loving, affectionate relationship you know does not come natural to them, when they go out of their way to show you that love, does it make a difference in your relationship? Does it? If you're at work, you know, if you're at work tomorrow and your husband sends you, you know, a dozen roses and there's this little handwritten note, all right, I'm going to ask you a question. I'm just going to come over here. He sends you a dozen roses and that handwritten note expressing his love, and he shares his hopes and his dreams, and I want to just spend some time, just the two of us, and you're the love of my life, and I just wanted to take a moment out of my day to express that. If chance does that, is that a good thing? Does it affect your attitude towards him whenever he comes home? Right? It'd be a good thing for you, all right? I'm just trying to help, all right? I'm sure he did that last week. But we all get that. But he's saying it's the same thing here on that motivational relationship. Ladies, don't send Chance a dozen roses, okay? Because when you do that, he's going to say, why is she spending that money on a dozen roses? He doesn't feel the same way about it. Show your husband respect. Honor him. Build him up. And we'll talk about some ways that we can do that. And when we do that, Peter says that's how you're going to motivate. That's how, as a matter of fact, you're going to bring about change. Even in many cases, that's how you're going to win them to Christ. Because they're going to see that those things are coming from your faith. A lot of things in the text about the role of women that obviously, if they weren't in the Bible, I think I'd probably feel really uncomfortable even saying them, right? But there's supposed to be some sort of a difference in that relationship. Are you reflecting this in your relationship? Wives, be subject to your own... Don't leave right now. Wives, be subject to your own husbands as to the Lord. For the husband is the head of the wife, as Christ also is head of the church, He Himself being the Savior of the body. That's pretty strong language, okay? Especially in the year 2014. That is pretty strong language. So strong, He's going to say it again. But as the church is subject to Christ, so also wives ought to be to their husbands in everything. See, is that being reflected in our home? Ladies, are you reflecting that? Are you reflecting the fact that you want your husband to lead, that you want to, your husband to be that spiritual leader? I'll speak to the fellas first. Fellas, I'm speaking to a lot of ladies who are desperate for men to step up and take on that role. I'm speaking to a lot of ladies who are desperate. They would give anything if their husband really would be the head of their home, really would be a spiritual leader in their home. Take up that mantle. Now, ladies, I'll also speak to you. I'm also speaking to a lot of guys who are scared to death that if they actually do lead in their home, that their wife won't follow. They're scared to death. What are we communicating? Does your husband know that you actually want him to lead? Does your husband know that you are willing and ready to follow him? Have you had that conversation? Because God says that's part of how the family is supposed to be organized. And when it's not organized in that way, we're going to have problems. That all feeds into what we're talking about with respect. It's a learned behavior. Doesn't come natural to every man to do all the things that we talked about last night. It's a learned behavior. I mentioned earlier in Titus chapter 2, where the older women are told to speak to the younger women. Teach them. Teach them to be reverent in their behavior, teaching what is good, that they may encourage the young women to love their husbands. Why would you have to teach them how to love? Doesn't that just kind of come natural? Don't you know when you're in love? Not this kind of love. It's not agape love, okay? That sacrificial love that comes so natural to a lot of people, that's not what He's talking about here. He's talking about that phileo love. He's talking about that relationship love. That, and sometimes we talk about brotherly love whenever we talk about phileo, right? That's the struggle. I know lots of women who are ready and willing to sacrifice for their families, even in terrible situations. But are you ready? Are you willing to cherish that relationship? Are you willing to find joy in that relationship? See, women are never specifically told, agape your husbands. Most of you women probably don't need to be told that. That's probably be kind of redundant and be pretty easy. But phileo, yeah. Men are told, agape your wives. But women are told, phileo your husbands. It's a learned behavior. Once again, I'm looking at myself. I'm evaluating myself. Am I doing that? Ladies, are you doing that? Are you showing that love? Are you giving that respect? Are you honoring your husband? Now, I can't answer that question for anybody in this room, right? Maybe for my wife, I could answer it, okay? But besides that, I can't answer it for anyone. There's a passage in Proverbs. Actually, there's a couple passages like this in Proverbs 21. But they talk about that relationship that's dysfunctional. They talk about what it's like to live with a woman, to be married to a woman that doesn't show this godly respect. What does it say? It is better to live in a desert land than with a contentious and a vexing woman. What's he talking about? There's another passage that says it'd be better to live up in the corner of your roof than it would to be with a contentious and a vexing woman. What do those passages mean? Well, every one of you are picturing somebody's picture in your head right now because you know what that looks like. It'd be hard to live with. Hard to live with people who don't love you. Hard to live with people who don't support you. I don't want that for my relationship. Don't be that contentious person. Don't be that constant thorn in the side. Don't be the one who's always pulling that thing down. Don't be contentious. Don't be vexing. Your husband is not your child, and he's not your project. I think that's where a lot of our dysfunction comes from. How many of you men want to be somebody's project? Anybody? No, nobody? I don't like being somebody's project. I don't like it. I don't like that from my wife. I don't like that from people I work with. I just don't like it. Okay? I sure don't want it from my wife. But I see a lot of women in the church who have seemed to made their husbands into their project. They have to fix him. And they're going to fix him whether he likes it or not. And they've been with their kids or their grandkids all the time, and they're always telling them no and training them and trying to tell them what they're going to do and what they're not going to do. Trying to tell them, you know, you can't have this to eat and you can't have that to eat, and that's what you're supposed to do with your children, aren't you? But then what happens when their husband comes home and that's just in their mood? You're not eating that, are you? You're not going to go there, are you? Not going to do this, are you? Just like a child. See, no husband is going to enjoy that. No husband's going to say, I just love it when my wife gets on to me just like she gets on to the kids. This makes me feel so good. See, but that, I know, ladies, you're not doing that to be ugly. You're not trying to be controlling. But I'm telling you how it's coming across. How it's coming across to that husband, and it's coming as a lack of respect. Okay? It's coming across as a lack of respect. And when that comes across as a lack of respect, and he pulls away and he cuts off on that love, and you get on that crazy cycle we talked about yesterday. Your husband is your husband. He is your helpmeet. He's your companion. You are one. You're not over him. He is not over you in that relationship in that way. Think about what you say and how you say it. Think about the tone of your voice. It makes a difference. How do you speak to someone? Are you always ugly to them? Are you always condescending to them? How do you speak to them? How do you speak to someone that you love versus someone that you're getting on to? And then ask yourself, how do I speak to my spouse? Which of those tones is representative of a lot of the conversations that we're having? One of the concerns that comes up amongst a lot is, yeah, but won't that make me a doormat? I mean, are you trying to say that I just ought to sit there and whatever he wants, we ought to do it, and he'll make every decision and he'll do everything he wants to do, and he's just going to walk all over me to the point of it's going to be almost abusive? That's not what I'm talking about. Okay? That's not what I'm talking about at all. There's what Jesus says in Luke 6 and verse 45. The good man out of the good treasure of his heart brings forth what is good. And the evil man out of the evil treasure brings forth what is evil. Tell me about your husband. Is he a good man? Is he a good man? See, if he's a good man and you treat him with respect, is he going to walk all over you? No, he's going to bring forth good things. If your husband is an evil man, he's going to walk all over you before, whether you show him respect or not. Those things have to do with who he is. What I'm saying is that most of you that are here tonight are married to people who I believe, and I think that you believe, are honestly good-willed people. Show them this respect and open up this wellspring within them. We've got some friends that really struggle with this in their relationship, and this husband is desperate for his wife to look at him with admiration, is desperate for his wife just to show him some honor and to show him some respect, to the point that he will say, I wish that sometimes she would just go and get me a drink. I like that. You know what? I like it when I sit down at night and my wife gets up and she goes and she says, you want something to drink? And she goes in there and she gets a drink and I sit there and I don't do a thing. I like that. And you know what? I don't expect her to always do that. Okay? Sometimes I get up. And sometimes, a lot of times we both get up and we go do it together. But every once in a while, I just want to say to this friend of ours, go and make your husband a sandwich. That's all you'd have to do. He'd live high for 2 weeks on that. But right now, he's looking at his wife who is adamantly saying, I am not going to make his sandwich because I shouldn't have to make his sandwich. And all he is hearing is, she has no respect for me at all. That's what he hears. Now, I don't think she's trying to send that message, but I know that's the message that she's sending. A lot of their marital problems could be fixed if she'd just get up and spend 2 minutes making the man a sandwich. Fellas, a lot of your marriage problems would be fixed if you'd sit down and you just pour out your heart for 5 minutes one day. Ladies, all you got to do is make a sandwich. You know? But it's these little things. Love and respect. Love and respect, and when they come together, let's look at some practical ways that you can show respect, because I think we struggle with the application, all right? We struggle with what does this look like? We're using acrostic. Last night we used the acrostic. What do we use? What? Couple, okay? Tonight we're going to use chairs, okay? And you can read in depth in this about this in that book, and we'll give some others that aren't in that book. But I want to start off with conquest. Conquest. To your husband, conquest is a really big thing. A source of identity. You know, when little boys get up and they play King in the Mountain and they're trying to show that they're the biggest and the baddest. And my son, I mean, Derek took us over to Jacksonville State and got to run on the football field today. And he's, you know, in about 10 years, he's planning on coming to college here now. I mean, he's ready to sign up, right? But they love that. When men get together and they don't know each other, what's one of the first things they always ask? What do you do? That's just part of the conversation. What's your name? What do you do? Why do men ask that? I don't think women always ask that question. Women ask about their family and all kinds of stuff. I don't know. But they don't ask that question because men and women are different. What do? It's important. It's how they identify themselves, how they define themselves. Don't belittle that. Don't belittle that. Reaffirm those things. Reaffirm those things in your relationship. Express faith in their ability to do those things. I'll share one on my in-laws that my father-in-law he worked for 30 years as a master electrician working on these big machines at Procter & Gamble. And, you know, and he's retired now, and they have all these things around the house that they're doing, and they'll talk about putting a light fixture in at their house. And you know what my mother-in-law said? She said, do you know how to do that? Now, she didn't mean anything by that. She just never seen him put up a light fixture before. You know what he heard? You don't think I can put up a light fixture? I can teach advanced electronics. You don't think I know how to put up a light fixture? He's disrespected by that, right? Whatever your husband does, reaffirm in those things. We've got some friends. I guess I got lots of friends that are struggling with this. We're all struggling with this. And but the other night we were there at church, and he was going off about something he had done at work and how he had saved the day and kept all these boilers from going down. And I'll just be real honest. He's kind of a blowhard, and he talks a lot. And you know the type, okay? I'm just being real honest about how he is. But his wife stood back and she said, "Yeah, you hear him tell it. He saves the world every night, you know." And just belittled him right there in front of everybody. Don't do that. Don't do that. Listen, I want to believe that I am the favorite preacher in the world of Shelley Hazel. That if she had to choose to listen to anybody, she'd come to listen to me. That if she loves to listen to me. I want to believe that. I need to know that. I need to know. I do believe that, right? She follows me everywhere I go. I mean, that's... It's asking, you know, this week she's following me around. They've been here every night. Reaffirm them. Express faith in them. Think about hierarchy. Hierarchy. Your husband sees himself as your protector, as your provider. That's who he is. And when he struggles to protect his family, when he struggles to provide for your family, that's very painful. That's very personal. That's a really sensitive issue. Ladies, you really need to be aware of that because you can very easily send a message that you don't think he can protect you, that you don't think he can provide for you. Don't mock him. Don't belittle what he makes at his job or what he does at his job. Don't complain a lot. Sometimes we get in a complaining mode about we have this and we have that. And I know you don't mean anything by it, but it sends a message that's very personal to him. Sometimes I share one with my wife. Okay, I don't know. I think she knows this, but sometimes she'll complain about, you know, the computer or the TV or something. It's messing up, and it frustrates me too. Okay, but I want to tell you what goes through my mind whenever she's really having all these problems. It goes through my mind. Why can't you get her one that works? Right? That's not what she's saying at all. It isn't what you're saying, is it, babe? Okay. That's not what she's saying at all, but I know that's what I hear. If I was a real man, I'd go out and buy her the TV that works, or the computer that works, or the Kindle that you didn't have to hold like this to get it to charge. Yeah. That's it. You know, but she doesn't realize that. That's what I want us to realize. Why did you see to it that you respect your husband's? I want you to see inside of your husband's soul in the same way that he kind of peeked inside of your soul last night. When you talk about finances, I know you got to have, we got to talk about our finances. We talked about being one on those things. Tread lightly on those things. Because you think you're just talking about figures, but you're talking about something that's very personal. And you can do a lot of harm and send a message that I don't think you can provide for me. Well, that's a death blow to a man. That's a death blow to a man. You think you're just talking about numbers. You're talking about a lot more than that. Tread lightly on those things. Be aware when you talk about those things. Authority. Who is the head of your house? What's that message that you're sending? Are you sending that message that I actually want you to be the head of our home? That I'm willing to follow? I know that I've seen some people who have sent the exact opposite message of that. That I'm not listening to anybody anytime. I'm going to do what I want to do because I don't have to do anything he says to do. What message are you sending? I'm telling you, a simple conversation where you say, I want you to be the head of our home. And I want you to know that I'm ready and willing to follow you in those things. My wife's told me, and I'm a preacher, and some of the decisions I've had to make about where we go and what we do, and there's some of it's pretty scary, and we got lots of opinions, and we talk about those. But here's what she's told me. She said, I'll go wherever you think we need to go. You think I liked hearing that? Yeah. You think that makes me listen doubly to what she thinks about where we ought to go? Yeah, it does. It does. Because I know that she respects me. She reaffirms that. When your husband makes good decisions, praise him in those things. You know what? You really showed a lot of insight whenever you came up with this idea or you decided we were going to do this as a family. And I just want you to know that I really appreciate what you're doing as the spiritual leader of our home. He'll walk 10 feet tall for the next week. When he makes a bad decision, and he will, right? I made one once, right? anyway, it took a minute. Yeah. When he makes a bad decision, be gracious about those things. Don't crush your husband simply because he made a bad decision that he's going to have to carry around for the rest of his life, right? Sometimes I've seen marriages where the wife makes sure he does. Don't do that. Show grace. Don't give them what they deserve. Give them what they don't deserve. Appreciate insight. Appreciate insight. And we're going through these things really fast, but you know, we talked last night about the difference in men and women, and a lot of times women, they just want you to what?
Listen,
right? They don't want you to fix. They just want you to listen. They want to put out this whole complicated thing that's going on in their life and cry about it and, you know, and all this stuff about it, and they don't even want to fix it. So just listen, okay? It's weird. But ladies, understand that about your husband. Every once in a while, let him fix something. Let him fix something. This is going on, and I think you might have some insight into this. You think you could help us with this? Just let him do it. Whether you want it fixed or not, just let him fix it. Appreciate that about him. Appreciate that need that he has. Appreciate his desire to analyze and counsel. Tell him. If all you want him to do is listen, tell him. Get him off the hook, okay? When he's trying to, does she want me to fix it? Does she want me to listen? I just want you to listen to me. I don't want you to fix it. I just want to talk. It'll take a lot of steam out of the room. Take a lot of pressure out of the room at times. Appreciate his relationship. That relationship. I think we can learn a lot about marriage by going back to before we were married. You know, when we're dating, it always works pretty well. And then it's when we get married where a lot of things fall apart. It's because our relationships change. It's hot in here, I know. Somebody's got the AC. Turn it on. We got a whole bunch of people fanning. I'm one of them, okay? Probably that fire up there getting us hot. But you ever see a boyfriend and girlfriend who are dating? And they'll do the craziest things. You guys probably done some crazy things, right? You'll see these girls, and they will go, if their boyfriend's into working on cars, they'll go and they'll just sit there and watch him work on a car. For hours, they'll do that. Right? Ladies, you ever do anything dumb like that? Because you wasn't caring about that car. You just wanted to be around him. You just want to be around him. But then when you get married, and he goes to work on the car, and he looks around and says, well, where's she at? I thought she lived to see me play baseball, you know, and I'm 45 years old out here chugging around the bases, and where's she at? Like she's got something she'd rather be doing. It changes. Just spend time together. Just send that message, I want to be around you. I love you. I admire you. I think that you're great. Isn't that, I'm going to pick on the people about to get married, but I promise you, one of the things that he likes about you, one of the reasons that that he wants to marry you, is he likes the way you make him feel, okay? Because you make him feel like he's the greatest thing since sliced bread. And nobody else makes him feel that way, but you do. Ladies, fellas, you remember? You remember when you were dating and she made you feel that way? And so you just, every moment you wanted to be around her because she thought you were great and he thought she was great. Everybody remembers that? Well, let's get back to that. Let's get back to that. I want to send the message to my wife. I think you are the most beautiful, precious, sweet, faithful, whatever good adjective, put that there. And ladies, make it your business to send a message to your husband. I think that you are the most, are the strongest, greatest, best leader, most insightful hunk of a man that there ever has walked the face of the earth. Now, fellas, would you like it? Would you like someone that looked at you that way? Brandon's going to get up here and he left the room. He's going to get up here and tell us that he doesn't want people saying that, right? But I guarantee he wants it from his wife. And when we don't give that, you know what happens? Crazy cycle. We get that message. Oh, they must not care about me anymore. Chairs. Sexuality. Men and women are different. We've read 1 Corinthians 7 and verse 3. There's a lot of women who have an idea of sexuality that, you know, that sexuality is great as long as it's perfect and the candles are lit and it's this process. And my wife's talked to me about some of that. You know, and you got to build up to it and we got to have all these things. But sometimes that doesn't happen. It doesn't happen over and over again. And sometimes it becomes a real dysfunctionality in a marriage. I heard a lady say once, she said, there are a lot of women out there who will fulfill your husband's needs for a whole lot less than love. We need to know that. We need to know that. Pay attention to those things. They had a class at the where I preach at the Savannah Church. We hadn't been there very long. And they've divided up men and women. And I wasn't either one of these classes. I was teaching a Bible class. And it was all about sexuality. I thought, what in the world? I mean, they went for like 2 months talking about this. Now, what are they talking about? And I don't know what they talked about. But the main thing that they try to encourage is pay attention. Give some thought to these things. Give some intentionality to these things. And you know what? It's good. It's good for every marriage. Don't take those things for granted. It doesn't just take care of itself. Pay attention to those things, just as God tells us to there in 1 Corinthians 7 and verse 3. It's a biblical topic. Some suggestions for working these things out. Now we got just a minute. I'm going to give you some practical suggestions I've heard from some other people. Express respect verbally and express it in writing. Express it verbally and express it in writing. I know how you feel about your husband, but does your husband know how you feel about him? You know, you write him a card and his birthday comes up or Valentine's Day comes up and you go to Walmart and you pick out the perfect card and it's got the perfect flower on it and you read them all and make sure it has the perfect message and then you write the perfect message and then you give it to your husband and what does he do? Reads it, puts it down, goes back to what he's doing. Right? Boy, I spent an half hour, sometimes homemade, I spent a day on that thing. You want to give your husband a card that he'll keep? Don't make it all that mush. Just write down, here's 10 reasons. Here's 10 things that I respect about you as a man, as a husband, as a leader of our family. And I want you to know that. He'll keep that card. He'll keep that card. Because men and women are different. Because God made us different. Express faith and related to His chosen field. Allow Him to dream. Allow Him to dream. We're together. We are one in these things. Allow your husband to know that his dreams are not stupid, that they're not childish, that he can actually attain those things, that you are his biggest fan, that you believe in him. I tell you one of my dreams right now. I've got a bachelor's and two master's degrees from Fried Hardeman, and right now I'm in the middle of a doctoral program at Southern Seminary in Louisville, and it takes up a lot of time and a lot of money and a lot of energy. I've had to work on it this week even, and there are a lot of guys that I've went to a certain point with, and they're out. And the reason that they're out is because their wives simply don't support them in it. And that's okay, and they've had those discussions, but I want to tell you one of the most awesome things is that my wife says, I believe in you. I want you to do this. Not because she enjoys me spending the time or the money or the energy, but she knows it's my dream. It's my dream to finish that thing, and in 2.5 years, I'll be done with it, okay? It'll be a great day. You'll hear my hollering all over the country. But I need to know. Let your husband know. I don't know what his dream is, but you find out. You don't have to be young to have dreams. Pursue it. Let him know that you want to pursue it with him. Not just that you want him to pursue it, but you want to pursue it with him. And when I walk across that stage, I won't be walking by myself. My wife will be there just as much as I'll be there. Allow him to dream. Praise his good decisions. Be gracious if he makes bad decisions. Verbalize appreciation for the work that he does. I go to work every day and I put in 40, 50 hours a week and I do that. Why do you do that? Well, for your family. Ladies, take the time to tell your husband, you know what? I really appreciate how hard you work. I really appreciate the fact that you get up every morning before the sun comes up and you go to work every day. I appreciate the time and the effort that you put in to support our family. That's not saying that you don't work too. It's not saying that you don't contribute too. I'm saying that your husband needs to hear that. He needs to hear that you appreciate it. And when he knows that you appreciate it, and when he knows that you acknowledge it, it's just like running through a wall. You ever had people that appreciated you? You run through a wall for that person. You ever have people that believe in you? Right? Some of you guys, you can go back to athletics and different coaches that you had, and they build you up, and they believe in you, and they appreciate you, and they encourage you. And if they asked you to run through the wall, you'd run through the wall for them. You've also had coaches, fellas, who just beat you down, and they didn't care. At least you didn't think they didn't care. And when they asked you to run through the wall, you know what you did? You didn't run through that wall. Ladies, I want you to feel into the heart and the soul of your husband. These little things. He needs your respect as badly as you need his love. Tell him that you're thankful. Tell him that you're thankful for his strengths. Not every husband is a five-talent man, but every husband has one talent. Pick out those things that are good and praise him in those things. Acknowledge him in those things. You know, there's some things I'm not very good at, but there's some things I think I'm pretty decent at. And I like to hear it. Now, I like to hear it from some folks, but I need to hear it from my wife. That makes the difference. She's sending a message. I respect you. Praise Him in front of others. I'm going to come back to the same point that we talked about with the ladies last night. Praise them in public. As devastating as it is to beat them down in public, it builds them up just as much to be praised in public. It's true. Get on Facebook, you know, and talk about you. How many guys on Facebook? Most of you? Okay. Well, one of the things on Facebook is people say, I think you've been hacked. I think you've been hacked because your husband got on there and he said, Wes Hazel is the most awesome husband in the world and I love him. I mean, obviously you didn't write that, right? You've seen that? Well, get on there and hack yourself. Okay? Get on there and tag him in it. And you know what? And people are going to say, I think you've been hacked. And I want you to get on there and say, no, I wrote that. Because I want the whole world to know. I want the whole world to know how I feel about this man. If you don't think that will motivate him to show you love, if you don't think that'll motivate him to get up off the couch, if you don't think that'll motivate him to get off that crazy cycle, is he a good man or not? Show him respect. Unless the Lord builds the house, they labor in vain who build it. A lot of the problems that we have in our marriages are because we are accepting what the world says about what marriage is supposed to be. When God says it's really not that complicated. Husbands, go home and love your wives. Give her the things that God has placed within her uniquely that she needs. Wives, go home and you see to it that you show respect for your husband. Give him the things that God has placed within him that he needs. And when we do that, marriage becomes an awesome thing. We truly stop being a man and a woman who live together. And you start being one. You start to really understand what that means. And when you start being one, it starts to affect your walk with God. You take steps in your marriage, you'll take steps in your faith. You ignore these things, you ignore your marriage, it will affect your faith. You can't separate the two. And the reason that we're talking about these things is that we want you to have stronger marriages and greater faith because God wants those things. So I hope and I pray, listen, some of this you may say amen, you may say that sounds strange. Would you do something for me about the things we talked about the last two nights? Just talk about these things. What did you think about that? What did you think about what he said when he said this about how men are? Do you really feel that way? What did you think about the things that he said about women? And you know what? And you may, listen, every marriage is different. And probably on some of you're going to say, well, that really is not a big deal to me. Right? I mean, I don't really care about that one way or the other. But what you might find is that on a few of them, your spouse might look at you and say, you know what? He was really right. I really do feel that way. And for the first time in your marriage, your husband or your wife is going to get it because you talked about it. So let's do that tonight and tomorrow and over the next few days. Tomorrow night, let's talk about the greatest danger, one of the greatest dangers to our marriages. We're going to talk about technology. We're going to talk about distraction. We're going to talk about pornography. We're going to talk about a lot of stuff that all of us have right here in our pockets. Okay? And I think it'll be good. I think it'll be helpful for us. So, somebody going to lead us in a closing prayer? Right there? All right, we'll do that, and then it'll be cookie time. They didn't tell me on the first night, as soon as I was quiet, we got to go eat cookies, but I know that tonight, so I'm sitting down.